I'm Christina Michelle. Coming up on Culture Rich Conversations, Black in Alaska, a multimedia project on a mission to profile 50 Alaskans. The goal? To break down the stereotypes and create a deeper connection between the Black community and Alaskans. The story behind this groundbreaking project in a moment.
Culture Rich Conversations on Juno Afternoon is sponsored in part by Mark Stofa and Sarah Hannon of the Alaska Wild Salmon Company, delivering fresh salmon to Juno homes since 2006. Learn more at goodsalmon.com or 907-321-4997.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich.
Welcome to Culture Rich Conversations. Today's show is a collaboration between the Black Awareness Association of Juneau and KTOO. Rasmussen Foundation is pleased to announce the opening of an exhibition at the Anchorage Museum showcasing work created for Black in Alaska, a multimedia project that launched earlier this year. Black in Alaska shares stories of Alaskans who are Black through interviews, photos, and short videos. Through storytelling, this project aims to dismantle stereotypes and create a deeper connection between the Black community and fellow Alaskans. Join us today as we have a conversation with Maiowa Aina, writer for Black in Alaska, Jovel Rennie, creative lead, and Sherry Patterson, who is featured in the exhibit. So I would love if you could each just share a little bit about who you are and just introduce yourselves to our listeners, and then we'll talk a bit about the exhibition and how you got started, what it's meant to you to be a part of it, and just hear all of the good details. Maiowa, can we start with you?
Sure. So hi, my name is Maiowa. I am a journalist. I'm a reporter and a writer. And I worked at Alaska Public Media in Anchorage for about 2 years before I moved back home to Tacoma. But I've been writing for a very long time. And I got involved with the project just through being good friends and colleagues with Joe Bell, and he was looking for a writer. And I said I could do it. So I jumped on the bandwagon.
All right. Welcome, Maiowa. And Jovel?
Hi, I'm Jovel. I think most people know me as a photographer, but I think I wear a lot of hats. It might just be easiest to say photographer. I own a gallery and creative studio with my best friend here in Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh.
I work at a PR firm and do photography and creative strategy there. And I just look for ways to try and help out my community, get involved, and stay out of trouble for the most part.
All right. Well,
he's not good at it.
And Sherry.
Yes. Hi, I'm Sherry Patterson. I received an email maybe about a year ago, you guys, introducing the idea of this project and that I had been chosen to be one of the participants. And I was blown away, very honored to be a part of such a historic project here in the state of Alaska where Blacks in Alaska are concerned.
Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you so much.
So, Jovel, can you tell us a little bit about how you and Maiowa got connected? You were sharing that story before we got started, and I would love for you to retell that for our listeners.
Most definitely, most definitely. So, it was around fall 2019, I think it was. I'm on Twitter because I be tweeting, and Maiowa had DM'd me, and I received a DM, and it said, like, hello, my name is Maiowa. I see that you are a Black person in Alaska. I, too, am a recent Black in Alaska. Would you be down to, like, get coffee sometime?
Oh, wow.
And that's really all it was.
Wow.
She just, like, cold called me on Twitter. And me, the type of person I am, I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? You know, like, I'm a very easygoing individual. Like, anybody who wants to talk, I'm usually down. So, yeah, we met up at Fire Island Bakery, which wasn't too far from or where I'm living and where Maiowa ended up kind of in the same area. So, yeah, we met up, talked a little bit, and kind of just kept in touch. And then COVID kind of, like, it really made circles smaller, and mm-hmm. we got real close. Like, Myla is one of my best friends. I love her dearly. And she was living, like, right around the corner. So it was like, the perfect friendship. You know, if I'm picking up food on the way home, it's easy for me to be like, yo, you hungry? Like, if I'm getting ready to go work out, just like, yo, you trying to come work out too? Like, it was effortless. And I don't know, she's hilarious. She's brilliant. Like, it just was a perfect match. She's cool. She's real cool.
That's the way to do it. I love it. Maya, were you just looking for friends of any kind, or you were looking for Black friends?
I mean, I had just moved to Anchorage for this new job, so I didn't know anybody. And I was mostly looking for creative people. Mm. And because where I was coming from, I was really tapped into the creative community. A lot of my friends are artists and photographers, and I just really wanted to figure out what was happening in the creative community in Anchorage. And Jovell was like the most visible person that I could see through my, social media sleuthing and trying to figure out what the deal was in Anchorage and in Alaska. So I was really like in a sourcing mode. I was reaching out to a few people here and there, just trying to figure out how do I get involved. And Jovell was actually like the only person who responded to me. he was like the most approachable person. And like you said, it was very easy. He was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then ended up being a good friend, basically my twin now. So that was like over 2 years ago.
That's awesome. Well, can we talk a little bit about the Rasmussen Foundation? So just sharing what you know about it, how you guys all got connected with Rasmussen.
Yeah, the way that I got connected with Rasmussen Foundation was through my participation and documentation of some of the protests taking place in summer of 2020. I knew that I wanted to do my part. I didn't really know what my part was, but whenever I'm not sure what to do in a situation, I know the first thing I can do is show up with a camera and make images. So I had shown up. I was starting to document a lot of the things that were taking place. I was starting to assist in some of the organizing that was taking place through my gallery and through community leaders in town. And Lisa Deemer at Rasmussen Foundation, she reached out and asked if I would be willing to document some of what was taking place on behalf of the foundation. And it made perfect sense to me because I was already going to be there anyway. So the foundation, when they reached out and asked if I'd be interested in doing it as a job, it was a no-brainer. And through that kind of led me to getting connected with Angela over at Rasmussen Foundation. And Angela and I, she's good people. Like, we talk every now and then. And one day she texted me and she was like, hey, like, we've kind of been talking about this idea. Can I like float you the basics of it? And so she floated me the basics of what would become the Black in Alaska Project. And so she sent me some notes and I said, okay, I'm gonna sit with this and I'll send you some notes back. But the way that my brain sort of works is when I sit down to type up some notes, it looks like a proposal. Like, that's kind of the world that I come from, is just like organizing my thoughts in a way to present it to somebody. So I sent her back my notes and my thoughts on the project, and I heard back from her a week later, and all she said was, the board loves it. They want to move forward. And I was like, wait, what?
Wow.
I was like, I was just sending you some notes. But no, it was great. I think one of the biggest things that was different about the original idea versus what it is now is that the project was pitched as an individual project for me to go out and conduct these interviews and talk to these people and make images. But I'm really big on having a team. I think that it's possible to do things by yourself, but I think that we do our best work when we leave mm-hmm. the jobs to like the individuals who are best suited for them. So I went back to Angela and I was like, look, I can do this by myself, but if we want it to be great, like, this is the team that I want to build around it. And so I had originally wanted Maiwa as the writer for the project, but with her work schedule and with some things that were taking place, it just didn't seem the most feasible. So we ended up using Sydney Stokes, who was great, served really well in the role at the time. But then when it came time to transition, we were able to snag Maiwa and bring her back on the team. So it's myself, Maiwa as the writer, my guy Thomas McIntyre behind the videos. I met Thomas through my day job, and we just synced up and become really good friends. And then Willie, the producer, Willie's been my producer and sort of like my agent for the past couple of years on creative projects. And he's a good friend. We built Aquila Space together. We've done photography projects, big and small, together. And yeah, he's just a good guy. And I kind of joke about it, how every project needs like a token white guy to like, you know, block for us and play defense for us and in certain rooms where people of color aren't quite accepted or heard. And Willie has been able to do that for me countless times. Luckily, he hasn't had to do it with Rasmussen Foundation because they get it. They understand. Angela and the rest of the team over there is just like incredible to work with. But yeah, Willie's our like go-to guy. He's the one that blocks for us.
Thank you, Javelle. What other types of projects does Rasmussen Foundation do? I know that they are a foundation that on their website, it says they aim to promote a better life for Alaskans. But this is the first type of project specifically about Blacks in Alaska that has been done. Is that correct?
To my knowledge, yes. But Milo and myself don't work for Rasmussen Foundation. Like we're not that closely affiliated with the foundation. Just from my view as an individual in Anchorage, I've seen Rasmussen take place in a lot of community work around indigenous groups and trying to provide like stable resources to rural areas. I know they helped kind of launch the I Am Inuit project by Brian Adams a couple of years ago. And that was that work is beautiful. It still continues to make rounds throughout the state and the nation to this day. So I've seen Rasmussen Foundation involved in projects before, but you're right. I hadn't really seen them show up in spaces that meant a lot to Black Alaskans. And Angela, that was something that she had mentioned too. And she was really kind of leading the charge behind helping Rasmussen Foundation become a resource to Black Alaskans.
If I could just add, like Rasmussen is one of the first names that I heard when I moved to Alaska. I don't think I have to tell anybody this, but it's just such a major philanthropic organization and just have such huge footprint. And so to have a project like this and for them to like put resources behind a project like this is actually pretty significant in my opinion, just in terms of the organizations that follow Rasmussen's lead. Just like when Rasmussen does something, like things move. And so to have Rasmussen behind the project and to want to do a project like this is actually pretty significant. I'm a journalist, so I'm always going to like speak truth to power and try to hold people accountable. So this is not like to pat them on the back or anything, but it is to acknowledge just that, like, just sort of the shift that had to take place in order for an organization like that to do something like this.
Thank you, Maya. The participants who are part of Black in Alaska, how are they nominated?
I honestly don't know how the others were nominated. Like I said, I got an email from actually Angela Cox. She's one of their VPs. Mm-hmm. And I actually met Angela in 2020. She came to Juneau to participate in the Roar Women's Conference that my employer searched us. She was excellent at it. And it's like the two of us sort of, you know, clicked. And not that we stayed in contact with each other, but she reached out and said, we would like to include you in this documentary that we're doing, say yay or nay, so we could go forward. And she said that they were looking for people who stand out in their community and was passionate about moving things forward in their community and just loving to be an advocate in their local communities. And I was quite honored to be chosen.
Awesome.
For Juneau.
Yeah, because I saw that there's participants from all over the state of Alaska.
Yes.
So there's Anchorage and Fairbanks and
Ketchikan, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
What are some of the
Eagle
other communities, Javelle?
Well, it's really important to us to make sure that this project has a footprint all over the state.
Okay.
So
all right.
We've gone up to Kotzebue. We've gone up to Fairbanks. We've got plans to head to Haines, Heidelberg.
Wow.
Some communities whose names I need to learn and figure out how to pronounce properly before
okay.
I dare try to say them.
Yes.
Yeah, but just to kind of emphasize that there are Black people in every corner of Alaska.
There is.
And in terms of how the participants were identified or like the subjects were identified, I don't know if Rasmussen would report it this way, but I kind of remember joking with my boy Pat, who's another Black dude in Alaska. we were talking about how some of our white friends probably couldn't name 50 black people. You know, it's like, can you name 50? Yeah. Like, can you name 50 black people in your city? Wow. And a lot of people that we know couldn't.
Wow.
Yeah. When I sent those initial notes to Angela, I had sent a list of 50 black people. And that wasn't the final list. That wasn't the end all be all. That was just to kind of showcase like, hey, look, there are countless people that we could speak to for this project. But Rasmussen Foundation, they have a committee for the project. The committee's comprised of Bill Bailey, Bernard Gatewood, Jewel Jones, Teresa Lyons, and Renee Wardlaw. So people from different areas of the state, and they each nominate people through soliciting like information from their communities, you know, talking to people in Fairbanks and Juneau and what have you, and just kind of figure out like, okay, who are people that we should hit up and see if they're interested. And it's pretty neat. Like I've been lucky. I've been able to throw some names on the list. I know a lot of the names kind of get run through the committee first, but I do wish that we could do more profiles than 50, because like there's a countless number of people we could talk to. But what's really great is this project, it's not meant to put 50 people on a pedestal. It's meant to be the conversation starter. That's, you know, good. It's meant for people to like take this and run with it on their own, tell their stories. And I encourage people when we talk to them, I encourage them to hit up the email that's on the website and send in those nominations of people like their family members, whether it be the mechanic who's taken care of their truck their whole life, or the dude that's worked in the deli, or the teacher that they had in elementary school. Like, it was really important that this project didn't just encompass a certain type of individual. Like, we wanted to span Black Alaskans across different sectors of work and different socioeconomic status. Like, it's not meant to be like look at these like only the best of the best, because that gets, I don't know, that gets kind of gross to me. I appreciate how thoughtful this project has been. Yeah, I could go on, but I'm just very thankful. The inclusive process.
Yeah, I was reading some of the profiles, and they're all very diverse. And I wasn't sure at the time how the participants were selected. But the picture started coming together, just as you said. You weren't looking for a common profession or a common, what shall I say, status in life or whatever. I love the diversity. And I think a lot of times when we showcase or highlight people, we tend to look for those that just really stand out above the rest. And we forget about those that really make our communities tick. So I applaud you guys and Rasmussen for doing just that with this project.
Thank you. One more thing I'll say, too, is with projects of this nature or of a similar nature, it's very easy to only speak to the people that are raising their hand to be spoken to.
Right.
And I think it's really important. And it's been a really fun process for us to kind of like reach out to some of these individuals and sort of remind them like, hey, you are great. Like, you are doing amazing things. We do want to speak to you, you know, because a lot of people, man, they're just so busy working, you know, and living life that they're not really told like, hey, you're doing great. You know, we want to talk to, like, it's good to kind of uncover those stones and remind people that, hey, you've got a great story and we want to help you share it. And not just calling on the people who are volunteering to have their stories told.
Yeah. I love that. So then it sounds like we can go on the website and actually nominate people. And because I wasn't sure about that, I thought that you had to either be approached or you had to nominate yourself. But if you are looking for people's story to be told who aren't necessarily raising their hands, then I probably have about 10 people that I would nominate. So.
That's amazing. Yes, I sincerely encourage you to just spam that inbox with names.
Nice.
Because I like to be sneaky with stuff sometimes. And I know earlier I mentioned I like to stay out of trouble. And Myla reminded us that I don't do a great job of it. There were some people that, like, you know, I thought were really great people to speak with. I'm the kind of person where it's just like, I don't know if I'm going to wait for the committee to tell me I can speak to this person. I'm going to just go talk to them. But I've realized that inbox is the best way to like put them in front of the committee's radar. That way everybody's happy. Everybody's on board. But we've been fortunate to talk to some really great people. Some people who I wasn't familiar with Ms. Sherry before I came to Juneau. And after I left, I'm never going to forget her. I'll tell you that much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Well, if you're just joining us, I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and I'm here with Maiowa Aina, Jovell Rennie, and Sherry Patterson, and we are discussing Black in Alaska, which is an exhibit at the Anchorage Museum that was showcased earlier this month. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with you. Welcome back to Culture Rich Conversations. I'm your host, Christina Michelle. And if you're just joining us today, I'm here having a conversation with Maiowa Aina, Jovell Rennie, and Sherry Patterson. And we are discussing Black in Alaska, which is an exhibition by the Rasmussen Foundation at the Anchorage Museum. And to your knowledge, how has it been received there in Anchorage?
To my knowledge, so far, it's been cool. It's cool seeing people send messages of support to me, or I'm hearing about it through Angela or through other people in the community. It's cool seeing my friends, people who I may not have spoken to in a while, walking through the museum being like, dang, this is, y'all did all this work. My coworkers and I, we went over there, and one of my coworkers, she grew up in the Valley, and she saw an image of Miss Lois Lester, and she was like, I know Lois. She's like, I've known Lois since I was a kid.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, and like people seeing Mr. Wilson, who's principal over at Wendler Middle School, and being like, yo, that's Mr. Wilson. Like, we're seeing our neighbors. We're seeing the people that we grew up with in our community.
That's awesome.
And it feels good to see them highlighted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is awesome. What are some of the challenges that you have experienced as part of this project?
From the creative team standpoint, I think that, you know, COVID has presented a number of challenges in terms of logistics and moving around the state, getting to some of these communities. Travel to rural Alaska mm-hmm. is notoriously challenging mm-hmm. at times because we're very dependent on the weather. And if the weather's not cooperating, we're just not going.
Yeah.
You know, Thomas and I, we've tried to fly up to certain communities multiple times and the planes are just like, nah, y'all ain't going anywhere. You know, we've waited mm-hmm. in the Juneau airport. After we spoke with Miss Sherry, we were supposed to go to Shugnak. I'm going to mess it up. I think we're... Oh, no.
Was it Skagway or Ketchikan? I thought you were...
It was Skagway or Ketchikan, but when we were in Kotzebue, we were supposed to go from Kotzebue to Shugnak.
Oh,
that
okay.
didn't work out, so
mm-hmm.
we went back to Anchorage. And then when we were in Juneau, we were supposed to go to Skagway, Ketchikan, and Heidelberg, and the plane said no. The weather said no. You just keep pounding the pavement. You know, we just keep doing what we can. COVID, trying to move safely and being aware of everybody's different like health needs and precautions, we scaled back the team. Like if in a perfect world, we would have traveled to every single interview with our writer, but you know, we wanted to carry like as minimal of a team as possible. So Tom and I were the only ones flying out to go and do interviews and talk to people. And we would transcribe the audio, upload that to the cloud, and then give that to our writer. And if our writer needed anything more, then they could work with Willie to contact the subject and set up a time to talk to them. So that was an initial challenge, bringing Maiowa on. Her expertise and her background has definitely helped streamline the process and make it a little bit better. So the stories are coming out like beautifully well-rounded. I think some of the challenges that we've seen so far have been around logistics, traveling throughout the state, and mm-hmm. and just the fact that I wish we can keep this going forever. I think there's been some mild frustration from people who are, I guess, I don't want to say frustration, but there's curiosity about, you know, why 50 subjects, why this 50? Well, do you know about this person and that person? And the fact of the matter is, like, there's a number of people, and I wish we can get to them all. But like I said earlier, this is meant to be a jumping off point. Mm-hmm. Like, we want these stories told. I don't know if it's going to be feasible for us to tell the stories full time all the time, but they're going to get out there one way or another.
How much time do you spend with each subject?
I want to toss that one over to Miss Sherry.
Okay.
I want to hear what she has to say.
Okay. So we met, was it a Saturday or a Sunday morning? And we met at the coffee shop, a brief introduction, got some coffee, and we walked down to the Marine Park and just had some conversation. And I didn't even realize that you were taking certain photos. I just realized some things just going through the profile this week. And I'm like, oh, I did say that. Oh, they were listening. And so I think altogether, maybe a couple hours, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say on average, it does tend to be a few hours. We've had some profiles where they are kind of like, we show up where that person is and we get what they're able to give us. Because a lot of these individuals, you know, Michelle, yourself included, busy individuals whose mm-hmm. time is very valuable. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to be too intrusive. I think one of the things that we ran into with some of the early profiles, I think while everyone was still kind of getting those first couple of like emails that were sent out inviting people to participate or asking them to participate, there was a little bit of confusion as to what was taking place. Mm-hmm. It was kind of hard for people to understand it because we didn't have the website up yet to kind of direct them to like, hey, this is what we're doing. And so a lot of people just kind of had to take our word for it, but they never met me before. They right. never met Tom before. Like,
yes.
They didn't know us.
And
yeah.
And JaVale, I jumped on because I knew Angela. The email came from her. And yeah. like I said, she's a VP at the Rasmussen. And so I knew her. And she just stated what you guys were looking for, what you wanted to do. And I'm like, oh, my God, I had to read the email twice. And I'm like, oh, wow, somebody want to hear about my life? Wow. The fact that I love my community, I love my state, I just jumped on board so that I could highlight those things that I love so much about my state and why I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys have done a beautiful job on the website, the pictures, the videography, all of that. And it is really,
beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful and it's very engaging and it tells the story of the subjects really, really well. Mm-hmm. And I remember Mom told me that she was going to be a part of this. And it kind of, you know, not that it went in one ear and out the other, but I didn't have a visual to go with it until I saw it. That's when I was like, oh, wow. like this is a big deal.
Now she want to come to Anchorage with me.
Yeah. It's really beautiful work. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Maya, are there any challenges that you experienced as a writer?
Yes. I think the first big challenge was kind of coming into something that was already in motion and like figuring out how to help as opposed to hinder, because I definitely have a lot of ideas as a journalist, as a writer. You know, I know Michelle said you spent a few hours with everybody on the team, and that includes video and photo and the interview. But for me, it probably would have been a much longer interview. I would have talked to all your kids, your partner, your boss, anybody mm-hmm. else that you've worked with, just to try to get a full, even fuller picture. Okay. So there's just a lot of challenges with not being able to be there physically. And then this also me having a full-time job. So I have to like figure out how to, you know, fit it in when I can and make the time for it. And then also as a writer, I want to own the things that I write and I want to make sure that they're true and accurate. So I'm trusting the team to like do an interview that's good that I can use. And so like trying to translate that into something that I want people to we didn't have that reaction of like, oh, wow, like, this is what I said, and like, this is what I sound mm-hmm. like, and this mm-hmm. is how someone mm-hmm. perceives me. So I wanted it to exactly. be a good feeling and to be accurate. I've asked Jobel actually to, whenever they do interviews, just do a little like side commentary at the end, like, what is this person's essence? Are they bubbly? Are they stern? Mm-hmm. Do they smile? Mm-hmm. Do they not smile? Like, do they have big hair? Like, do they have, are they quiet? Like, what, like, who is this person? Like, tell me who this person is beyond just their responses and their experience. So that's one of the things that I think helps make these profiles sparkle when I do get those details. So that's what I ask for.
Mayoa, can I ask you a question? Did you write mine?
I did write yours.
I read it, and then I read it again, and I was like, huh, I've been an advocate for myself all my life. I've never seen myself as an advocate since I was a kid, because I came here when I was 18, and I was a kid, didn't know mm-hmm. anything, naive, yeah. And when I read it, I'm like, wow. They got that about me from that conversation, and it blew me away. It really did. Thank you. I know that I'm an advocate now. I'm an advocate for many things, but I never saw myself as an advocate for myself from my teenage years. Never saw that until I read it. And I had to sit back and reflect and look at this, and I'm like, they're right. Oh, wow. How did they get that from the conversation? So thank you. Thank you for opening my eyes about me.
Oh, yeah. That's so amazing.
It is.
And I think that's the power of like these types of projects, because like you said, and like Jobel said, so many people have just never been asked about themselves.
Right.
And everybody has a story to tell. And I think Jobel's had this experience. He's got another exhibit up in the Anchorage Museum of his own work. And he has a really huge photo of his dad in the exhibit.
Wow.
And I know how proud his dad was to see himself up there, and how proud it was for Jobel to be able to do that. And some of my stories, I talked to my mom recently about something that she was really passionate about, her clothing, her wardrobe.
Wow.
She was like really excited to be a part of that and to just be asked her opinion about something, about mm-hmm. something that she likes.
Mm-hmm.
And so just that experience of talking to the people around you, kind of the your neighbors, kind of the everyday people, about like, what have you been through? How did you get here? What brought you to this moment? And just giving them a second to reflect. It's really powerful for a lot of people.
It is. Yes, it is.
Well, what are some of your favorite parts or highlights of working on this project? And I can imagine, Mayoa, for you, what Sherry just said is really beautiful, I think. And just the perspective that you bring and that you highlight for the participants. Do you guys call them, well, subjects? I could see how that must feel really rewarding for you.
It's very nerve-wracking. Because I don't know how people are going to respond, and I can only write what I see and write what I hear. So I hope that it is accurate, and I hope that they learn something, that they're willing to share that. And if there was something that's inaccurate, I hope they would say that. But yeah, it is exciting to like hear how people receive it, because often people don't share what they're thinking. They'll just kind of read it and then have their thoughts and opinions. They might tell their family members, but I rarely get to actually hear what people are thinking about. So it's always nice when people do share that. I do get some messages here and there about people when they recognize someone and they're like, oh, it's like really lovely to read about this person that I grew up with or what have you. I love chatting with Jobel. I mean, I think we're in a new phase of our relationship. This is our first like professional collaboration, so that's been a lot of fun. And I just really enjoyed my time in Anchorage and in Alaska. I really, really appreciate getting to know the state in another way, in a way that I really wanted to know
awesome.
The state when I was there. So those are my highlights.
I think some of my initial highlights, like, I love working with my friends, and I love that this is an opportunity to make something really special with people who are special in my life. Willie, Tom, Maiwa. It feels really great to be able to do something for the greater Alaska community with people that I already like know and care so deeply about. I feel great like talking to these people. Like I think I'm just a sponge for conversation. And through this project, I met some amazing people, you know, people who have been subjects and people who are just like in the community where we're going to meet a subject. I remember we went up to Kotzebue to talk to a gentleman up there, and I'm looking around and the entire like Kotzebue Airport TSA is Black people.
Wow.
And yeah, I struck up a conversation with one of them. That's what I said too.
Kotzebue? Wow.
In Kotzebue, yeah. I asked one of the women, I was like, hey, there seems to be a lot of, she's like, oh yeah, we go where the jobs are. And I was like, okay, wow. So you feel me. But like in talking to her, she handed me a business card for her business. I can't remember the name of it off the top or else I'd plug it, but she was selling wigs and nail sets for Black women out of Kotzebue, Alaska.
Wow.
That is amazing.
Wow. And I'm over here that ordering them from Timbuktu. I could be getting them right up the street.
That's what I'm saying. Like Black people are amazing.
Yes.
You know? And
yes.
So that's really exciting. Something that Maiwa and I have talked about before, and I've talked about this before too. Like I really appreciate Blackness in Alaska because it is such a melting pot of Blackness. If you go to the South, like there's regional Blackness in the South. There's regional Blackness mm-hmm. on the East Coast. But mm-hmm. in Alaska, we all have like different shades, different flavors of Blackness. Like my family, we're from the island. I was raised by Southern Blacks and Island Blacks, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the rest of my family's on the East Coast. Like up here, it's such a unique brand of Blackness that feels very special. And it feels great to go out and get to explore that and share that with others.
That's awesome. So I think that anytime we do something as meaningful as this, it has the potential to change us on some level. Would you agree? And if so, how has this project and your involvement with it changed you?
Well, I am deeply appreciative that someone wants to know more about me and share me with a state that I have just grown to love. One thing I love about Alaska is the beauty. It takes your breath away. It never gets old. I remember my first day that I came here to Anchorage, actually, and I saw the snow on the mountains. And I asked my brother, I said, is that real snow? He said, no, that's sheets. And I believed him because I'd never seen snow like that before. And he just started laughing. But from that point on, I just fell in love with the beauty and its people. And I've said before that I so identify with the Alaska Native people. When I started reading the stories of Elizabeth Peratrovich and some of the others that have led the way for civil rights in this state, it's the same thing that I lived through in Louisiana. And so I love just being here. I'll be here 50 years in another year. I cannot believe that.
Wow.
I consider this my second home, and I don't see any going back at this point. I just love it. And to be able to share that with the rest of my state and my community, it is just so rewarding. So thank you so much. And I'll share that with Angela when I see her this weekend and let her know how much I appreciate being nominated for this.
Maiwa or Jovell?
You said, how has the project changed me?
Mm-hmm.
I think if it's changed me in any way, it's just made me pay more attention to the people around me. Mm-hmm. It's just a really good reminder as someone who has a personal ethic of the stories that I want to be telling and the way that I want to contribute to my community and contribute to my industry. And it's just sort of like made me more focused on that, continuing to advocate for the value in these types of projects and the value in these types of stories, because, you know, I work in an industry where it's like news, news, news. We need all the hard news. We want to know all of the crime stories. We want to know all of the stories about injustice. We want to know all the stories that like make us cry. And those stories are important and they need to be told, but there's so much more that we can be telling and that we can be doing. And so I don't know if it's changed me or if it's more just that it strengthened my resolve to continue to look for these types of stories and do these types of projects.
Nice.
I would say a similar thing to Mawa. I think that this project has changed me in the sense that it's made me sharper. I learned from every person we talked to for this project. I learned from my teammates. I just learned how to be a better communicator and how to be a better listener. It's important to us to make sure that we're telling these people's stories and like maintaining their dignity and making sure that what we deliver is something that they're going to be happy with. And so I kind of joke with the team about it. How about like every time we do one, I always feel bad. I'm like, man, this one, like every new profile becomes my favorite profile, you know, because we just get sharper. We just get better. Mm-hmm. We just function better as a team. So I'm grateful for the opportunities. It feels good to be doing this work. I love to see these kind of projects take off, and I want to see more of them happen, you know, not just for Black Alaskans, but for people in any community. Every community has a story to tell, and there are institutions that have the resources to be able to make that happen. So I hope that this kind of kickstarts more people looking for ways to fund other projects. It's just exciting. It feels good in a world that's like often inundated with like heavy news that we can do something that celebrates like joy and like just community and strength without shying away from moments of gray that are just a part of reality. But like we're choosing to focus on joy and strength. And that makes me really happy.
I will say one of my favorite things about the project is that like as much diversity as there is amongst Black people. And I want to say literally every interview, someone references, oh, there's Black people in Alaska. Like we've all gotten that question. Literally every single one of us. And so now we have a website. It's like, there's lots of Black people in Alaska. And now you can see all the Black people.
Awesome.
So I'm very happy about that.
Yes. Well, we will take a quick break, and when we come back, we're just going to share where you can see the exhibit and hear any final words that our guests have. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and we'll be right back with you. Welcome back to Culture Rich Conversations. Today's show has been a wonderful conversation about Black in Alaska, which is an exhibit by the Rasmussen Foundation. It's at the Anchorage Museum. And we've just had a wonderful conversation with Jovell Rennie, who's the creative lead for the project, Mayowa Aina, who's the writer, and Sherry Patterson, who was one of the participants or subjects in the exhibit. As we close out today, I would love to know if there is anything that we didn't talk about that you guys would like to add.
I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to share me with my state. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry.
I'd like to add, just keep an eye out for the team. Maiwa is doing incredible work in Tacoma. You can catch her on NPR's Life Kit and other NPR publications and projects. Tom is out here making fantastic videos. Keep an eye out for Tom. Like, Willie's doing amazing woodworking. Like, Willie might be the second coming to JC, because this man is like woodworking and let me know.
There's some information on blackinalaska.org, but if you have more info than that, please share.
Yeah, so people can check out the project at blackinalaska.org. They can check it out on Facebook and Instagram at blackinalaska. We're working on getting it in some places outside of the museum too, but the website is going to be a great place to see it. You can always email the email on the website. You can email me at hello@aquilaspace.com with any questions. If you're in Anchorage, check out Aquila Space. We are always trying to do fun stuff here, very community oriented. Yeah, just keep an eye out. And if you have any questions, reach out. Don't be a stranger. Let's have a conversation.
How do you spell Aquila?
A-K-E-L-A.
Okay.
Oh, perfect. Okay, well, it has been a pleasure having this conversation with you all today. Thank you, Jovell. Thank you, Maiwa. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
And Culture Rich Conversations is a collaboration between the Black Awareness Association of Juneau and KTOO, and we air every Thursday. Thank you for listening, and we will be back with you next week.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich. Culture Rich.